Welcome to the Authenticity Podcast. We bring you stories that connect you to the city you live in and the people you share it with.
When I was born in 1983, the average lifespan of a cystic fibrosis patient was 25 years old. Now, in 2020, the average lifespan of a CF patient is 40. If you're born in 2020, not me. I was born in 1983. My lifespan was over several years ago, but I'm still here, and I keep kicking along.
That's my friend Sarah. After my conversation with her, I was reminded about something. Last Christmas, I got an Apple Watch. I was a late adopter and didn't know much about the watch, but I was excited to finally try it. One of the features about the watch that instantly caught my attention was the Breathe app, a feature on the watch that calls attention to your breathing. Periodically, you get a notification on your watch to stop and breathe. I knew the watch would keep track of my steps, but did I need to be reminded to breathe? Wouldn't a reminder to call my mom or stop being so passive-aggressive be way more helpful? Maybe. But I made a point to try it, and I have to admit, every time I did, I felt better. It made sense. Take a deep breath, now another. It's what I tell my 7-year-old when she's upset, and advice I've been given during some of my most stressful times. Just breathe. This episode is dedicated to all the people who have never been able to take breathing for granted. Sarah Gossettis is one of the 30,000 people in the United States living with cystic fibrosis. Here's her story.
Cystic fibrosis, at its base level, is a genetic disease that causes degeneration between the lungs, the sinuses, and gastrointestinal. So basically, all of the internal organs that help run your body. At its really, really genetic level, it is a mutation of the sodium chloride ion channel, your sweat gland, that causes a genetic mutation that does not allow sweat to produce properly, which doesn't seem like a big deal. It seems like a really small aspect of what our bodies actually do when you think of it. However, when your sweat glands don't produce sweat properly, it causes a really thick, sticky mucus because nothing can get secreted properly. And I know that sounds gross, but it's the truth. It happens all along in our bodies. And because with CF, we get this really thick, sticky mucus, disease doesn't get eliminated properly. Things don't work right. Sinuses get clogged. Your lungs get scarred tissue because it's hard to move that mucus out of them. And so over time, the disease tends to be degenerative. The parts with CF that make it hard is it's a very diverse disease, and it impacts people at a wide range. They've done a lot of pioneering in genetics, and that has been really eye-opening because it's opened a lot of different doors for a disease that they didn't know how to deal with when I was born. The gene that causes CF was only discovered the year after I was born. They could diagnose you as cystic fibrosis with a sweat test, and all babies born in the U.S. get sweat tested now because of cystic fibrosis. Because you didn't live very long if you had it when you were born. You would failure to thrive. We don't gain weight very easily. We get tired really fast. Your body's working twice as hard or four times as hard as a regular person with all your normal faculties. And so it's challenging when you look at the grand scheme of what the disease can do to you, because it's not just, oh, that part doesn't work. It's everything doesn't work. My pancreas doesn't work right. So my body doesn't digest food properly. I don't get the vitamins and minerals that I need from my food. So I have to take supplemental enzymes. It will eventually degrade my pancreas to the point that I will be diabetic. It is a miracle I'm not already diabetic. And you get all of these extra things early if you live longer because your body doesn't think you should be here. And so your body is constantly fighting against every will you have to live. And it makes it really interesting to live with a disease that one is invisible because you can't see me, but I look like I'm healthy. I look like I've been running. I look like I'm athletic, that I'm just muscly, and I'm not. I'm tired all the time. I work all the time. I'm on my feet all the time. And so when I choose to do things outdoors, it takes extra effort.
At this point, I asked Sarah when she first became aware of her disease and what it was like to be aware of your own mortality at such a young age.
I really became aware of my disease at a very early age. I am really fortunate that my parents didn't hide anything from me. They also didn't, you know, tell me, oh my God, you're going to die tomorrow, and put me in a glass box. By the time I was 8 years old and going to camp with other people like me, and the next year those kids don't come back, you're very clearly aware that that is your fate. That if I don't come back to camp next year, it's not because I couldn't afford to come or I didn't want to come. It's because I'm not alive anymore. And at 8 years old, that's a huge deal for you to recognize mortality and to go, okay, well, I'm going to plan for my 16th birthday, but the chances of me getting there are not huge. It is definitely a life sentence.
Sarah lost her insurance shortly after moving to Texas. Prior to that, she was covered under her father's policy as a disability dependent. The news came overnight when the company her father worked for changed plans without either her or her father knowing.
I worked part-time at a coffee shop. There was no way I was going to be able to afford health insurance. I worked for a small company. They didn't afford health insurance. And I lost access to all of my medication very swiftly. And I was healthy. So I thought, oh, it'll be fine. I don't do all my treatments right now anyway. I should be fine without health insurance for a while. Turns out that's not the case, especially when you're in your early 20s. I lost about 70% of my lung function and about 25 pounds in the course of a year. I went from really healthy and active to a completely different person. I was a whole different human and did not know how to deal with that. The struggle to do every daily thing I was faced with, I would either have to quit my job and go on disability. But at the time, mid-2000s, I guess, 2009, the Affordable Care Act hadn't been enacted yet. So pre-existing was still counting against me. I couldn't get health insurance because of my pre-existing condition, or I would pay twice as much as everybody else. I had to go to Houston for some medical care, and the doctor looked right at me and told me, if you don't have health insurance, you're going to die. I was very, very sick, and no one had ever told me that in my entire life. It was like staring at a brick wall and going, I have no options of going around it or under it. So I hustled. I found people who were willing to give me medical samples of the drugs I needed. I had some wonderful people whose names shall not be mentioned, who helped get me access to things that I didn't have. I went onto the marketplace to Facebook and got access to people's medication who had either passed away or gotten transplants. Fortunately, with CF, a lot of us are on the same things. So if somebody has it and they have access and they're willing to share, it's not recommended by the medical system, but it's something we have to do. I mean, I literally was begging people for medication. It was awful.
I'm really not sure how these things work in Podcastlandia, but I want to make it clear, we are not suggesting you find your medications on Facebook. If you're in need of help getting medications, please visit cff.org or consult a medical professional for advice. We do think it's important to mention that even with insurance, 45% of people living with cystic fibrosis spend $5,000 a year for out-of-pocket expenses. Back to Sarah's story.
About 2 years into living here, I finally had access to medical again because my husband worked for a company that offered medical. But with something like what I have, my drugs cost thousands upon thousands of dollars a month for things that I need in order to gain weight, in order to digest my food, in order to breathe. I remember when the Affordable Care Act was passed, and I was just so excited that I no longer had a pre-existing condition to count against me. I was able to get health insurance without that being a ding, but also really make use of access to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation has come a long way in the time that I've been alive. And now they have amazing care. They have pharmacies and they have the Compass program, which helps you really navigate the financial burden of medication. They help you figure out insurance companies. There's a lot more things that are available for people who don't have direct access than were available when I was going through my difficult time. Whenever I have the opportunity to tell people about the access like the CF Foundation provides, and then like University Health System, they have such a great program for when you don't have health insurance, and they'll still help you out in a way. And I wouldn't be alive today if it hadn't been for Nadi. Breathing and taking breaths for granted is huge. Normal people do not think about breathing, ever. You don't think to yourself when you wake up, is today the day I can't breathe? And I would be lying if I said, until I really lost my functionality, I didn't think about it either. It was easy. And I didn't understand what labored breathing was until I lost all my lung function. But I now wake up every day, and everything I do, I am consciously aware of breathing.
One day at the coffee shop Sarah was working at, a friend invited her to go for a run. Going for a run never seemed to be within her reach. She gave it a shot and eventually worked her way up to a mile. Before she knew it, she was training for her first 5K.
I ran my first 5K in December of 2011, and I ran the whole thing. And I had no clue that I could do that. It was mind-blowing. I mean, I was exhausted, but it was cold, which I hate the cold. And I was like, oh, man, I really liked this. And that year I put my bib, and that one I didn't get a medal. I just got a bib. And I was like, okay, the next thing I'm doing, I'm going to get a medal. Like, I want a medal. Like, I want something to put on my wall that says, I did this. So I hung the bib on my Christmas tree, and I said, okay, what's next? I subsequently then signed up for the Tower Climb, which is hosted by the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, the Lone Star chapter here in San Antonio. And the Tower Climb is, you climb the Tower of Americas. And the Tower of Americas is 952 stairs. It doesn't make sense. Like, who would want to do that? Who would pay to do that, first of all? Lots of people, actually. It is a very large event. It's the largest event the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation puts on every year. And it raises over $100,000 every time they run it. Because it's whoever gets to run the Tower of Americas. It's a freaking awesome opportunity. So my friends were like, I'm sorry, what now? And I was like, yeah, we're going to do the Tower of Americas. Well, when's the race? Oh, the end of January. I had just run my first 5K, and I was like, let's do the Tower of Americas next. That sounds like a total leap of faith. So my best friend, Bridget, who's a masochist, totally thought that training running stairways was a really great idea. So we did that, and I hate stairs. Anytime I think of stairs, I think of Po from Kung Fu Panda. And I love that movie. And all I can think of is him sitting at the bottom of the stairs. And he's like, my arch nemesis. And those are my stairs. And we feel the same way about stairs. And so we did the Tower of Americas. We completed it. Not only did we climb the tower, but we also ran a mile in addition to it. So we competed. And then I said, okay, 5Ks were fun. Tower of Americas was an experience. Let's do a 10K. So that year I completed my first 10K. And then I said, well, we might as well just do the half marathon. It's only, you know, a handful more miles.
A half marathon is 13.1 miles. I know this well because the first time I attempted one, I ended up waking up in an ambulance. I wish I was joking.
I just remember thinking, okay, I ran 11 miles in, the race was in October, and I ran my longest mileage in August. In like 90 degree weather. I would start at like 5 a.m. and I would run all through my neighborhood. And I ran 11 miles and I thought, I'm done. that's it. 11 miles is plenty. I'll hit 13. And I ran my first half marathon in Fairview, Texas. And I finished. And I thought to myself, I just ran 13.1 miles. How did I do that? Like, where did that come from? There, I can't do that. My body can't do that. I have the lung function of like an ailing human being. Like, there's no way I did that. And I did it in 3 hours and 8 minutes. I was shocked. And I wasn't the last one either. The two things I didn't want to happen, not finishing, and then your worst nightmare is being pulled off the race by the race car people. And they're like, oh, nope, you're slow, off the course. And I wasn't. And so I went into the rock and roll that November with just this air of like, yeah, I got this. And then I ran like three more after that because two wasn't enough. So then I run the rock and roll the next year and the next year. So I've run 4 half marathons. I've climbed the tower every year for 6 years. Even when I'm not healthy, I've climbed it while still on IV antibiotics. And I've convinced several other people to do the tower climb.
Sarah currently works for the recreational equipment retail company, REI. One of their core beliefs is that the outdoors is for everyone. She is now an avid hiker. In addition to working at REI, Sarah has for years helped raise money for the South Texas chapter of the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation.
The sense of drive for each new milestone and each new level of accomplishment and every race I ran that I added more mileage to that pushed me further and further reinforced the sense that every day is an opportunity to be more when you're given less. And I have never been good at people telling me that I couldn't do something, especially myself, that I can't do it. I'm going to work twice as hard because I've told myself, you can't do it. And when I hit those milestones running, it's almost like a sense of this isn't possible, but yet I did it. So it is possible. As I've changed lifestyles from running to more outdoors experiences with where I work and doing things like hiking, I didn't think I could do that either. And when I hike, I'm really, really slow, but I can do it. It's a sense of this can't be the most incredible experience because I have to have the next experience. And so for me, it's not a sense of, it doesn't overwhelm me in the way that you would think it would, because it's such, to other people, it seems like such a great experience and awe-inspiring thing to do. But for me, it's sort of like, okay, I did that. What's next? Because that was really, really cool and I liked it and I want to try something else. Accomplishment in a way that feels good, but also really scary because you know you've ticked something off a list and now you have to do something bigger. And you just do. You put one foot in front of the other and you just keep walking. And you don't stop. And you don't let things like breathing stop you. I've hiked with oxygen before. 8 pounds of a tank on my back and I still went and did it because I like being outside and I like the way it makes me feel. And it doesn't judge me for oxygen and it doesn't judge me for being slow. It rewards me for being slow. I get to see things because I'm slow and I hear things and I experience nature in a way that is really visceral because I am slow and I like that.
Authenticity is a podcast brought to you by the Storysmiths of Key Ideas. For more storytelling, you can visit keyideas.net. You can find Authenticity on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like these stories, please subscribe, share with a friend, and be our friend on Instagram at authenticity.io. You can find your hosts at Instacarlos M, Mygrosis 821, and SLS Diva. Executive producers are Carlos Maestas, Christopher Branca, Stephanie Gaitan, and Mike Rosas. Our show is produced by Fabio Lima. Editors are Michael Largent and Christopher Branca. Our interns are Kaylee Lopez and Ethan Perriman. Our graphics were designed by our friends at Heavy Heavy, and music by Lab Kids. Authenticity is recorded at Game Day Media and Key Ideas. Thanks for listening.